August 7th, 2008, meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. Let the records show that all members of the board are present. Are there any corrections or changes to make in the minutes from the June meeting? If not, do I have a motion to accept the minutes as read?
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
Is there a second?
2008.
Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion by Bill and seconded by Lynn to accept the minutes as written. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Next on the agenda is oral communications. Any member of the audience wishing to address the board on city business matters other than those on the agenda may do so now. I see we have one member in the audience that is going to speak on a particular issue. So what I would like to do at this point before we get into the action items is to ask Dan Murphy, who's in the audience, if he would respond to any questions that board members might have regarding his proposal provided to us a few months ago regarding a reduced scale dredging process. In June, I had realized that we had not given Dan's proposal that he gave us an opportunity for people to respond to, and so I asked board members if they'd take a look at it, and asked the Rick if he would invite him to this meeting, and I see that he's here, so let me at least ask you on the board here if you have any specific questions regarding his dredging proposal. Go ahead, Lynn.
Thank you very much for coming back, Dan. I'd like to know if you know where this method has been used. Obviously, there's in the photograph is taken someplace, but.
Process and a dredge that would barge it outside.
Oh, there's a huge time difference, but when I look at, you know, the marina took 50 years to fill in and is still filling in right now, well, who cares if it takes 10 years
I
to
do.
Get it out of there?
And I'm sure the boater people that want the new slips do. We have a shortage of slips in this town, and the reason they want that thing dredged is so they can get their boats in and out there with relative safety at any tide. And so there's going to be a time limitation on it. Whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not, there's going to be some kind of a time limitation on it. And the permit process with the Army Corps engineers and other people involved, I'm sure will, and the state will want a time limit on it. I mean, any contract that you do, if you don't put a time limit on it, if you leave an open-ended contract, you're asking for problems. So we'll need to know how long you suspect that this would take to get to 150,000 cubic yards or whatever it is that they need to get out of there.
My thinking is this is a fallback concept. In case you can't get permitted for the nearshore disposal site, in case you can't get the funding to do the other project, the city, with its own forces, can fall back to this financially doable concept.
Okay. I'm glad you explained that. Thank you.
Gene?
Yes, I'm looking at the, I guess this is like an environmental impact report or statement that we're handed here. And I'm just curious whether the people who put this proposal together, did they look at anything that you had presented or did they come to you? I don't see that. They do talk about one of their alternatives is a minimal amount of dredging. But they still want to do riprap and things like that. But I don't see anything at all that addresses your proposal. And I'm just curious whether anybody has talked to you about that.
No.
Okay. I still think that it's a valid solution. One of their concerns that they have to deal with is the ADA requirements, American Disability Act requirements. But I think some kind of marriage between what you're proposing and what needs to be done to make the slips accessible may be a viable solution. I just have a really hard time swallowing their proposal for major work there and spending that much money. Either if they can do the near shore disposal system, that may make it work well. But for them to truck the stuff up to Cambria and dump it in mine is so stupid. I just cannot accept it. I mean, you could dig a hole over the state park golf course and pump the stuff over and fill it up. I mean, it just, there's got to be another solution. And your may be a reasonable solution, especially in this economy. So those are my comments.
Anyone else? Michelle? Some of these questions reflect some of my own thoughts, too. I think it's a good proposal. I think it's an interesting idea. And in retrospect, it's too bad we didn't have it in place 20 years ago and been continually keeping the place mucked out somehow. Questions that I would have to do with questions similar to the others and probably ones that you have no direct answer for, but the permitting process. Would this material have to be trucked also up to Cambria? Would we be continually responsible for the maintenance of the highway between here and there because it dribbles in such of the material on it and that sort of thing? There are a lot of unanswered questions which probably could be answered to some extent if we knew anyone else in California that was using one of these and what they were doing with the material, what kind of permits they needed, and how long it takes for this material to dry out so that it can be trucked away. I would have a question about where these... I picture the marina down there in the long parking lot and where this material would be located in the parking lot would be somewhere adjacent to where the dredge is dredging, I would suppose.
Yeah.
And if it's in some parts of the parking lot, that would prevent access to the other parts of the parking lot. So there's some of those kinds of questions that if we could see this in operation somewhere close at hand, it would be helpful probably. And I like your idea, too, of putting together some questions that we have so that you can investigate further.
Yeah, if you could do that, that would be great.
Okay. I think it's a novel idea, and it's worth looking into myself.
Okay. Is that it?
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Dan. Okay, we move on to the State Park Marina presentation. In all of our packets was the... executive summary of the environmental impact report, and I'm going to ask Rick if he would be so kind as to give us a summary
comment during the 45-day comment period from anybody in the public. We'll have the senior planner Mike Prater, or the planning manager Mike Prater, will be here to give you a summary of the planning process and the environmental impact report. After we take that comment and this, all the other comments that are received through the State Clearinghouse and the city on September 15th, that period closes. The consultant, Padre and Associates, will amend the report as appropriate based on the comments they receive, produce a final environmental impact report, and that should be certified by the City Council in probably October or November. Once we have a certified EIR, we can proceed with processing our coastal permits and our Army Corps of Engineers permits for the state and federal levels, which is where we'll see the comments. Those are the state and federal permits. There are also a couple other permits that we require before we ever could execute the project, and at least the State Lands Commission and the State Regional Water Quality Control Board for a discharge permit. But the two big ones are the coastal permit and the Corps of Engineers permits. We'll need to have a discussion sometime this fall, probably after the EIR is certified, before we actually try and submit a permit process on what is the project really. And so this gets to the heart of, I think, most your most interest, that your the discussion you just had. We really need to decide what whether we're going to try and do the $25 million project, which is the described project in the EIR, or choose one of the alternatives or a variation on one of the alternatives, including no project, before we proceed to actually apply for permits. And I would hope that the board will, you know, agendize those discussions in fall or possibly over the winter and continue this whole dialogue on, okay, what are we really trying to do there? So today and September's meeting will be focused on the environmental impact report. Today is just kind of a briefing and to let you know where the information is. And in September, our advisory board will be a formal public comment period, public hearing, to accept comments from the public. In the executive summary that was provided to you, that I want to go, maybe the most important thing is the alternatives. So the way this worked is the consultant was asked to analyze a project that we released a year and a half ago in our notice of intent to prepare an environmental impact report. That project is to dig out approximately 150, dig out to dredge approximately 150,000 cubic yards of material out of the marina down to a minus 12 depth to harden the shoreline to prevent or to at least slow future accumulation or of material and sedimentation and to maximize the benefits of the basin so that the marina could be expanded by about 35 slips. So it's a 150 slip or 148 slip marina in the proposed project that he analyzed. There's significant new infrastructure offs on the shore side with new utilities, new drainage, improved parking lot, the new car top boat launch ramp, public picnic or seating area. There will also be a lot of mitigation that will be required as part of this project. You can get a hint of that when you go through all this. And my best estimate for mitigation could be in excess of $1 million alone for the various mitigation parts of this project. So there's a lot of elements to this, a lot of regulatory. By the time we get the state and federal permits, you've probably got, I counted them up on time, 18 or 19 different state and federal agencies that comment and give input on the state and federal regulatory side. You've got complex jurisdictions and property ownerships. You've got very complex environmental issues, and you've got a difficult to execute project. So that's the setting. The alternatives that we analyzed, keep in mind, so this basically analyzed the project that would take the material up to the only site that we could find that would be absolutely permissible at the time was the upland disposal at the Windsor Quarry site in Cambria. So that's the main project that was analyzed. And with all those other elements I talked about, 148 slips and shoreline hardening and dredging down to minus 12. And then any environmental impact report, you're also asked to analyze some alternatives. Almost always one of the alternatives is the no project alternative. That's the first one shown here. That basically means what happens if nothing is done. And it's not a very desirable social alternative for us, but also it's interesting to note that it's not a very desirable, it's one of the least desirable alternatives from an environmental standpoint too, according to this report. So engineers to agree that we should be flexible on this project, that we will do no harm and in fact be beneficial reuse of the material to put in the nearshore site, but we won't find ultimately out whether that is going to be acceptable. That although, like I said, we've had good discussions with EPA, and this consultant's prepared a draft sediment management report that indicates that we should be able to go to possibly 50-50 silts, which would take care of 95% of the material we have there. We won't really find out until we apply for the final permit whether we can use the nearshore disposal site or not. So that's a project alternative. The North Shoreline, another project alternative is a slight variation in that, which is basically a nearshore disposal site, but with riprap on the sandspit side instead of sheet pile bulkhead. And the final one that's listed here is minimal improvements with the nearshore disposal of dredge material. And so that would be basically a maintenance dredging concept. Leave the slips in place, do a maintenance dredging down to 8, I think is what they listed here, 8 minus 8. You're going to have to do some shoreline hardening or repair, at least. Let's put it as repair, at least, on the rock that's sloughed off on the shore side. And absolutely, we're going to have to do a few things to make this site, bring it up to current codes, such as at least one of the docks will have to be made handicap accessible, and we will have to install a pump out. So that will require some modification to the guest dock or some addition to the guest dock. But the concept was to keep the cost minimal, as minimal as possible, and do a maintenance dredging project. So the next part of this that I gave you goes through in detail all the mitigation that, well, not in detail because the detail is really in the report, but this is a summary of the recommended mitigations and the various things. I don't know if any of you had time, but you might take a look at that. We will talk about that more in depth at your next, your September meeting. The last page here I think is worth noting. The last page is environmentally superior alternative. And I might read this for the audience if it's not too bad. If there is an audience out there, and you never know. Under CEQA, the goal of identifying environmentally superior alternative is to assist decision-makers in considering project approval. CEQA does not, however, require an agency to select environmentally superior alternatives. In the detailed comparison presented in Chapter 6 of the draft EIR, each technical issue was assigned a number ranging from 1 to 5, with the smallest number, not always 1, due to scaling responses, equating to the alternative that has the potential for the greatest environmental effect for that issue, and the highest number, maximum of 5, being that alternative which results in the least impact. So number maximum of 5 is the least impact. Because one or more of the alternatives would have some impact to the technical issue, not all issues assigned a 1 or a 5, but used intermediate numbering to provide a relative impact assignment. Total numbering assigned in each technical issue was divided. That number 12, and the total numbers issues resulted in each alternative having a numerical rating. He explains how he came up with this rating. Based on that assessment, the proposed project has the potential for the greatest impacts and was rated at a 2-2. In other words, the project that we analyzed is the least preferred environmentally. The trucking to the Windsor site is not a very desirable environmental alternative. An alternative 4, minimum improvements, was expected to result in the fewest environmental impacts, rating at 3.5. So again, the highest rating is the least environmental impact. Alternative 2, proposed project with nearshore disposal. And alternative 3, north shoreline riprap with nearshore disposal, were rated in between, as was no project alternative. So I think what this says, what this says is that our project that is, there's other reasons why we should look to use the nearshore disposal site than just the economics of the project. I think environmental benefits, especially with reuse of the material and the reduction in the traffic and truck trips, are very, very strong, pointing us to using the nearshore disposal site and probably even reducing the sheet pile bulkhead on the sand spit to the rock revetment. And, of course, potentially even considering the alternative of just a maintenance-type project. But that has the problems of no additional boating opportunities. And a big problem is that if we're just going to do a maintenance dredging, the permitting is substantially easier. Costs are substantially better, but we may not be able to make any kind of dredged connection to the naturally scouring channel, so we may not be able to maintenance dredge the channel into the marina. So I should stop and answer your questions, and we should take comments from the public on this.
Dan, did you want to speak to this issue?
If you look in the very last page, there's a sketch there that shows the existing turning basin. The turning basin is essential for larger vessels to turn around in the frequently occurring windy conditions. I have personally witnessed boaters, possibly inexperienced, unable to turn their vessels at the west end of the marina in windy conditions, move to the east end to use the turning basin. I am always forced to use the basin to turn my 40-foot vessel. The current proposed layout of the marina slips closely resembles a mall parking lot. Boats do not handle like cars, and they are affected by wind and are not easily maneuvered in tight quarters. The turning basin, in my opinion, is needed. What solution does the city propose to solve this problem? The second reason is the plan calls for the removal alternatives 2 and 3, call for the removal of the existing docks and piles. All of the cement piles, to my knowledge, are in like-new condition, and approximately half of the docks are in good to excellent condition. It seems wasteful to destroy these assets. The alternatives 2 and 3 call for interruption of the cafe, because during the construction period, there's going to be interruptions there. This will result in lost revenue to the cafe owners. They will likely need compensation. How will the city manage this circumstance? Number four, how will the current concession contractor be compensated for lost income during the construction project? How will the city manage this circumstance? The current marina boaters will be greatly inconvenienced by this plan, as they will have to relocate their vessels during the construction effort. How will the city find moorage for these vessels, and how will the boaters be compensated for loss of recreational time? The plan also calls for the removal of 14 eucalyptus trees adjacent to the parking lot area. This will likely be considered a loss of habitat for birds. Possibly this will become an environmental focal point, further delaying this project. The increase in the number of slips from 115 to 150 reduces the amount of maneuverable space for the existing boaters. The plan proposed overall change in the configuration of the marina to accommodate the increased number of boats greatly diminishes the quality of the recreational value of the marina for the existing boaters. The current slope sand at the sands pit site allows for viewing of shorebirds. The proposed seawall would eliminate this valuable wildlife view. I feel that alternatives 2 and 3 are highly disruptive to the existing marina tenants and businesses. Additionally, I feel that alternatives 2 and 3 are likely so costly that sufficient construction funding will not be found. I feel that alternatives 2 and 3 are also very problematic for the city to execute. Contrary to this, I believe that alternative 4, minor improvements, should be approved for the following reasons. One, no relocation required of the existing boaters. Minimal disruption of the cafe. Minimal disruption of income stream to the current concession contract holder. Minimal environmental impact, simplifies regulatory approval, and I feel lowest overall cost. According to page 6-6 of the EIR, it is likely that some of the fine-grained dredge spoils may require upland disposal. Because of the cost associated with hauling these spoils, I ask that the city re-examine quarry sites 1 and 2 for disposal of a percentage of these spoils. These sites are in close proximity to the marina and would be ideal. Perhaps if several excavation hauling contractors, people who are familiar with this type of work, reviewed this site, additional disposal capacity and methods of reducing costs could be discovered. I suggest that by reducing the dredging quantities and using a combination of small disposal sites, the city may find sufficient disposal capacity for the dredged spoils. Should the city be denied a permit for the nearshore disposal site, all potential upland disposal sites should be considered regardless of capacity. Possibly multiple sites may be required to achieve the required disposal capacity. While nearshore disposal is preferred, if that fails, the city should have a backup plan, upland disposal. While grant money is preferred by some, if it is not available, the city should have a backup plan. I suggest that one potential backup plan would be for the city to take over the marina concession contract. By taking over the concession contract, the city would have an income stream to begin the maintenance dredging plan. The city could then use their own forces in combination with small multiple upland disposal sites to slowly clear the marina of silt. It is noteworthy that the Port San Luis Harbor District has its own dredge, which they have rented out to Monterey and Santa Barbara. These maintenance dredging operations are undertaken by other harbor districts with their own forces. Morro Bay could do the same. It is also noteworthy that to date, approximately $600,000 has been spent on permits, studies, reports, and the like. An impressive pile of paper has resulted. To my knowledge, no permits or funding are in place. As the process wears on, more money will likely be spent. If the city is unable to come away with a near-shore permit, or if funding is unavailable, all this effort and expense will likely have been for nothing. To prevent this potential disaster, I ask that the city consider operating a maintenance dredging effort as an option if the near-shore permit is denied or if funding cannot be located for this project. At least that way, some muck will be finally removed from the marina. The following sketch shows a modification to the proposed dredge footprint as proposed for alternate number 4. By changing the dredge footprint, I am hoping to incorporate some dredging of the access channel. This change would greatly increase the usability of the marina. I suspect this change would also greatly...
It was a total of about $585,000, I thought, is what she told me. But, and that's, most of that has been, you know, since 2002, we've received the revenues from the State Park Marina concession, which is about $55,000 this year. So, and we did seed that capital account for this EIR and this planning effort with some additional, with some, I think it was $80,000 or $100,000 of City Harbor Fund money in 2000, 2001. So if, by now we've got, let's see, 6, 7 years, it was about $380,000 or $390,000, almost $400,000, I think, in revenues from the concession agreement that have gone into account to pay for that. We've also got an it's a total of $150,000 grant from DBW for the planning effort. And so we've roughly, I think we're actually a little bit in the into the city's Harbor Fund initial money, but as additional revenues come in from the concession agreement, we'll catch up again. So, yeah, that's a startling number in some ways, but if anybody who knows EIRs, this actually is not a terribly expensive one for a complex project like this. They often cost more, if that's any satisfaction. And I would note that it's been paid for with revenues that would have gone to the state otherwise, and this is exactly as it was intended by the state parks when they agreed to this transfer to the city that we would use it for this.
Thank you. Any questions from board members regarding the executive summary of the EIR report? Bill?
Well, I guess one question, and you know, you've stated that the turning, you know, if we propose this marina as is, there would be no turning capabilities within the new marina. I mean, that's your opinion, but, I mean, I'd like to know a little bit more about it, whether or not that is, you know, I mean, maybe some other boater has a different opinion. I mean, that's something that is a major concern of myself, if that is the case. And I would like to, you know, research that a little bit more, or, I mean, get some more opinions on that.
Okay. And I think in generally what we should do is take Dan's comments and provide them in, through the process in the EIR and incorporate them as needed. And I think, you know, right away, I mean, I look at this chart and the proposed amended dredge footprint for a maintenance project is probably good information to sort of refine that alternative. So some of these comments will be included. Typically a comment like that would be, the response will be something like, we had Moffitt and Nichols, a marine engineering firm, do the design on the slips. It meets all the criteria that's required by Department of Boating and Waterways for marina development and for turning basins and fairways. And so that's why, and with the goal of maximizing boating opportunities, that's why that engineer approved it. So, but the, you know, those kind of details, those kind of comments will be either answered or incorporated in the document after the process closes.
Questions? Gene.
Yes, I realize this is a very complex project. A number of years ago, I looked into a small dredge to do work in among all the slips in the harbor itself. And one of the permits from the Army Corps of Engineers was called a stream discharge permit, which would allow you to discharge dredging into the stream. And in fact, maybe you could just, you know, put it out into the channel. And so maybe there is a possibility to look into that. And I would ask Moffitt and Nichols or our engineers to at least look into that as part of the alternative for a small maintenance dredge.
Okay. Michelle?
I don't have any questions yet.
Okay. Lynn?
The thought occurs to me about the dredge that the possibility of renting from Port San Luis. I mean, would that be any great savings over having the great big thing or something intermediate between Dan's proposal and what the original proposal was? I don't know what kind of a dredge it is, but if they've taken it to other places.
There is a lot of equipment available out there, a lot of contractors with various sizes, and clamshells, small dredges, big dredges, and there is a couple. Santa Cruz rents out their dredge, too. They own both a small and a big dredge.
Mm-hmm.
And Port San Luis, I think, is $200 an hour. So, I mean, it depends on, is it going to be there for 2 years? Is it going to be there for 10 years? Is it going to be there for, are you going to set it up and get done with the project in a month and a half? Then it probably makes sense to rent it. You know, it'd be hard to answer that question unless you knew a little bit more about the scope and timing of the project.
Bill? One question is that if we did any proposal
we suggested, and, you know, so you got a good point, I think. Good comment.
Yeah.
If the way this might work is comments like Gene's, even if the board, you're going to have another public hearing on this next September, next meeting, and if the board wants to formulate your sort of big high point comments, that's fine, or you can submit them individually, in which case we'll forward them to the EIR, the consultant who wrote the EIR. We'll have, you know, there's a lot of different ways to handle it. I think that's a good comment. That might be something that the board might feel important, and obviously such a consensus to say, hey, wait a second, if this alternative is going to be considered, you need to amend that alternative to make sure that it connects up to the natural scouring channel. Other comments, you know, might be some that you would like to submit individually or give to us individually. We can see how you want to handle that.
Okay. Let's see. Questions? Gene?
One more point. I am so adamantly against trucking the dredge spoils. 150,000 yards. If you could use a 20-yard end dump, and assuming that you're only going to get like 18 yards worth of muck in there, that's 8,333 truckloads. If it can go up the hill at this mine site, if you can only use a 10-yard dump truck, then you're talking about 16,666 truckloads. State Park Road cannot take that.
Mm-hmm.
So then somebody's going to have to rebuild the State Park Road. It doesn't make sense. Thank you.
I think I agree with you in that respect, that if we take this overall project that's estimated to be $25 million and involve, you know, trucking it off somewhere, that's just out of the question from my perspective. However, I do think that there's some viability to some of the alternatives, given answers to the questions we might have regarding those alternatives. For example, the larger project, I guess, would in a practical way mean removal of the existing slips and dredging the whole basin out. But if we went to an alternative where we leave the existing marina intact, then I would have questions regarding how they would dredge then, or what kind of dredge would they use. Would they use something like Dan's proposed and do it in small scale? Or is there other technology out there? But there's no reference to what they would do if we did choose one of these alternatives, or how they'd go about that. The other thing that would be of interest too to me is if the original project was $25 million, I would like to have some idea of what an estimated cost of some of the alternatives might be, assuming they'll be cheaper to take the material to a nearshore disposal. then each of the three alternatives that are proposed here ought to have some kind of estimated cost with it as well. And it should be something less than the $25 million. Any other questions come to mind?
I would just like to also concur. I cannot vote for a project of dumping it by dump trucks. I mean, I think it's ludicrous. I mean, somehow or some way, if we're going to do this, it has to be dumped near shore disposal. I mean, somehow or other. It's mind-boggling, as she says. There's no way that you're going to get that with many dump trucks. I don't think anyone would approve that thing. We'd have people yelling and screaming. And it's ludicrous.
I have a question. When they originally built the State Park Marina, the dredging was put in the parking lot, and it was also put out in this area to the, I guess it would be southeast of the basin. And they built that area up. And then after they dumped it there, a bunch of brush and sage and whatever else grew there. It didn't take long for that to happen. I remember when there wasn't much there. Why can't they dump it there again? Build it up another 3 feet or so.
Yeah, it's been designated sensitive habitat. It's been developed with trail facilities, and the absolute is the State Parks owns the property, and they say that they would not allow that anymore. So the property owner would not allow us to put it there.
Okay. Any further questions, any of the board members? I think what Rick is asking us to do is to think more about you've seen the larger EIR report and
two volumes
and I suppose you've absorbed all of the information in that, but is this executive summary that we're given in your opinion, a good summary of the project?
Yeah, it's a pretty good summary. Yeah.
Okay.
Good summary of the project. The mitigation, the environmental issues are listed, the potential mitigations, and the alternatives discussion is very brief, but it's good.
Is the executive summary a part of that larger document? Is it a chapter in there or something?
Yeah, it's the front part of Volume 1.
So if anybody from the viewing audience who doesn't have time to go through two volumes of the environmental impact report, they could look for the executive summary and within a half dozen pages or so get a good grasp of what the environmental impact report is about.
Yes, that's right, and it's available again on the city website under public services, then go to planning division, then go to proposed projects.
Okay. Any final questions before we move on to the next item? Would you like a 5 minute break?
Sure.
There's been a request by a member of the board that we take a 5 minute break. Any objection to that? Okay, let's take a 5 minute break then.
Legs are from the water.
We're back from the break. The next item on our agenda is the City Council direction concerning potential Measure D ballot amendment. And we have in our packet some of the minutes from the June 9th City Council meeting and minutes from the June 18th, it looks like. We have both the current wording of Measure D, and we have also four suggested alternatives. Rick, may I ask you to just give us a synopsis of what it is the City Council is attempting to do here and what they would want us to do?
Right. On June 9th, the Council discussed potentially putting a ballot initiative to amend Measure D on the November ballot. There was some interest in that potential. They asked the city attorney to provide them some some draft language changes, and he gave them four suggestions at their next meeting on June 23rd, and that information is in your packet. So as Jim mentioned, there's not only the original language of Measure D as it was passed in the 80s, but then four suggested changes that the council reviewed on June 23rd. At the end of that meeting, the council decided that they would like to get some stakeholder input before they chose one and proceeded to try and put on the November ballot. So the deadline is passed for putting on November ballot. The council passed the following motion. Council Member Pierce moved the City Council postpone placing Measure D on the general municipal ballot until there has been a meeting with the stakeholders. The motion was seconded by Grantham and carried 3-2. So now, no, it isn't defined exactly what they've asked, but you are a stakeholder, or you could be the stakeholder, or I guess my question to the board is, what level do you want to start getting into this? Do you want to discuss it in public hearings at the Harbor Advisory Board meetings over the next 3 or 4 months to give some stakeholder input to the council? Do you want to form your own committee, do it that way, an ad hoc committee, and do it and come back with a product? Or do you want to suggest that the city council form their own committee with at least one council member and offer a Harbor Advisory Board member or two to sit with them and do it in that way, or some other variation? It wasn't unanimous, but my take on what their discussions were is that they would like to make some changes to allow existing businesses to improve and potentially allow businesses like Chablis to be there without some kind of technical violation or concerns about growth or relocating, while not giving up the intent of Measure D, which was to protect commercial fishing uses and properties from being overwhelmed by visitor serving uses.
Lynn, any comment right this point? Ed?
Yeah, the spirit of Measure D was to protect the north end of the waterfront as much as possible, to protect the commercial fishing facilities that we have. We've seen Orville's and other facilities go down by the wayside, and we're down to our last Mohegan's last stand, I guess, you know. And I never believed the way it was written in the first place was kind of a bad deal for the people that are down there that had the existing lease sites. To consider them non-conforming, number one, is if a business burnt down, it could be construed that was non-conforming in the first place and you can't rebuild. Legally, that could be challenged. I don't know if it could be one or not, but that could be challenged. So, after thinking about this change in Measure D, I don't mind it so much. The commercial fishing organization, I signed this originally along with Joe Giannini when they put it forth, and to be put on the ballot. And I never agreed with most of it. I signed it on behalf of the Commercial Fishermen's Organization because it was good for us. But if it's bad for the people down there, it could also be bad for us as a bad reflection. I would take the non-conforming clause out. I would allow them to expand their businesses as long as it's within their lease boundaries. But the spaces that are available now for commercial fishing and any new lease sites that may be given should be strictly for commercial fishing purposes, with the exception of possibly the boat storage and haul-out facility, which would serve everybody. So if the language is going to be written to specify that, that's what I believe should be done. And with keeping in mind that we need to make sure that protections for the commercial fishing industry are there. And a lot of the people uptown voted for this for two reasons. Not only to protect the commercial fishing industry, but to protect the viewshed down there also. And I would agree with that. But I don't want to punish the businesses that are there also. So I would take the non-conforming clause out. But if they're going to do this as an advisory, I mean, we should probably have a public hearing on it, as far as I'm concerned, so that it's all out in the open. And the decision should be made here. I don't think it should be a committee. I think it should be made right. The suggestion should be mulled over and made right at the board here, and that we should set aside one meeting for this and this only, because it may be controversial. Invite the public to come and get it done in one meeting. That's my suggestion.
Michelle?
Well, I was going to suggest that we appoint a subcommittee of the Harbor Advisory Board.
I ain't going for it.
Gene?
I agree with Ed. I feel very strong there should be no loss of fishing use. And by that, I would designate it by square footage, because if you just say no loss of use, they're going to... The money is so strong to push to make it a something other than commercial fishing, that if you can nail it down to square footage and say there's 1,500 square feet of dock space, there will always be 1,500 square feet of commercial dock space. I would also like to see in Measure D there should be an allowable for a marine research facility, and I'm going to continue pushing for that one. I don't have any problem with either a subcommittee and we're part of it, or we have a meeting right here. Either one doesn't make a difference to me.
Okay. It sounds to me like there is some interest in modifying Measure D as it was voted on in 1981. I'm not sure, for myself anyway, that I have the kind of expertise that would be useful in a subcommittee, ad hoc committee. I would think that since it was a ballot measure on the...
You know, they do take some of our recommendations, and I think we should probably be the main stakeholder on this, and I think we should have a public hearing in the next couple months, and as a board decide on which direction we should go. That's my feeling.
As an advisor to the city council.
Yeah.
Let me ask this then. If we were to do something on our own, are we talking about rewriting the Measure D? Coming up with recommended language.
I
know that, but
I mean, they have three recommendations. And I like Gene's idea about the square
footage. I mean, I don't have any problem about businesses that have been there for over and over to be able to expand, but allow commercial fishing to have a certain square footage and any other related activities that are related to fishing. But I think it's a great idea, and define it a little bit more.
You don't need to define the commercial fishing. I mean, if you want to, you can. But the point is that existing commercial fishing facilities stay the way they are now, and that any new lease sites down there be for commercial fishing, or therefore related, like the boat storage and the haul facility. The existing businesses that are down there now, I want to take a non-conforming clause off. I don't care if they expand as long as they stay within their lease boundaries. You see, that takes care of it. So anyway, but that's just my opinion, and we're going to have a public meeting on it. That's fine with me.
It seems if we take on the task of creating an ad hoc committee and having the public hearing, then we too will have to come up with the proposed language for modifying Measure D, which then is recommended to the City Council. And if there, then I guess the next question is who's going to volunteer to be on this committee, this ad hoc committee? Bill?
I don't think that we're going to form a committee. I think we're going to make our own recommendation, maybe based on what we see right here and the public input, and then we're going to make a recommendation. We're going to advise the council. This is what the Harbor Advisory Board recommends. And have a citywide election, and it can be right in the staff report with everybody else.
Okay. The one thing that I think that they request at the City Council is getting some of the stakeholders, which, again, i.e. businesses, we need to make sure, as the Harbor Advisory Commission, that these people show up or at least get some input. I mean, somehow, Rick, you need to... Can we make them come or talk? Or I guess you can.
I'll think. We can certainly put in a newsletter and try and get the word out.
You said something controversial, like, we're going to put you out of business, don't you?
Ed, have you taken a look at the suggested language that's in the minutes?
I have, and none of those are adequate as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, so therein lies what I think is the difficulty that we as a board at a regular board meeting would have, is trying to come up with an alternative. And I would think it would be easier for two or three people from this board as an ad hoc committee to sit down and draft something and then come back to the board with that draft and make some modifications within that.
But we need some input from the public, I think, first.
Well, and there needs to be, if we're going to do that, we need to have the public hearing too, yeah. But the ad hoc committee could work on a compromised alternative to the four that are already here that would include in it the interests of the stakeholders. Yes.
Rick, do you see this thing going quickly?
I don't know. Can your board, could you formulate a recommendation from scratch in one meeting? Probably not.
No.
Probably not. But so I see the wisdom of what Jim's suggesting is put a committee together now to give you something to work on that you might get done in one meeting, or I could see you, you know, having a public hearing and then potentially trying to generate some work product after that that would be reviewed in a second or third meeting, I'm sure.
I think we'll have a public hearing.
Public hearing. Well, we could do that. We could certainly do that. And then if we have difficulty coming up with a consensus on the specific language, we could go then to an ad hoc committee, I guess, to draft it. I know from previous experiences in other ways, it's very difficult for a group to write something.
Well, then, don't you think we ought to have a public hearing next meeting?
No, they're not going to put it on the ballot this year.
It's not this year.
No.
Yeah,
they missed the deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so this is a year away.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
this
see so that's what I mean.
They didn't want to commit themselves politically. I see. Okay.
Well, the time frame was in June. They couldn't meet it, yeah.
So this is not going on until next year, okay?
Yeah, it's certainly not going to be on in November.
We already are scheduled for a public hearing on the EIR for September, so will any subsequent meetings interfere with having another public hearing on another issue for October?
I don't think so. Okay. I'm going to suggest you later on that we do some more work on level boards, but we can do that in November probably.
Okay. Well, then...
So October, and tell your folks too, and we'll... I think we should do a newsletter. I think we'll have a newsletter out by then too so we can get it to slip holders, and but the business owners would be the most interested too, I'm sure. All right. Well, thank you. I think we made a determination. Thanks for that input.
Okay.
Your next item is to review our Harbor Department status report, I think, right? Okay, I'll just go through this quickly. I actually, off the report that I gave you, I wanted to let you know that many of you are aware the St. Joseph has been a boat that's been abandoned us on a 70-foot Gulf shrimper that's was in a spot-prone trawl fishery that till that was terminated in 2002, and the owners have no money, have been unable to pay us. We're now for basically a couple of years. It's a documented vessel, and so the only way that we can proceed with actually getting the vessel off our facilities now that it's been abandoned, essentially, is by going to federal court litigation to lien the boat. The federal court would eventually, if we file the federal papers, the court will eventually give us custody of the vessel for 100 days while any other lien holders have opportunity to object. If we clear the liens in 100 days of our custody, then the boat is ours, and we have to, of course, demolish it. We're responsible. All of the owner would, L.V. Jones, would be, we can go after him for all the money that we spent in the legal fees and the custody and the U.S. Marshal and the demolition of the vessel, but it is not a very hopeful situation in getting any of that money back. But at least we would do something other than just have this vessel that will eventually be a threat to pollute and hazard to navigation. Yes, sir.
Can you just sign the boat over to you? I mean, would that be logical estimation, just like a car?
Yes.
Can't the boat owner right now that has abandoned the boat sign the boat over to the city?
In other words, what Ed may be mentioning is that there are liens out there that he may not be able to clear. Also, there are a lot of other issues in this. Typically, we would be able to, if you know, it's in the city's ultimate advantage, we may be willing to discuss writing off some of the bill, but we'll have to, you know, we can't just release him from any of the bill. And also, there's many times, as in many of this cases, with many cases, there's an emotional attachment that there may not be a logical thought process going on in the owners, and he's been unwilling to just sign the vessel over to us to let us forego this process. So what you will see, and you may have already seen, is on the agenda for Monday night is a request from staff for city council authorization to file the lien in federal court. And the papers have been prepared, and we will proceed in that direction. I presume the council will give us that authority on Monday night. Now, there's been a real nice development in this. That being said, there's been a nice development in the last 2 weeks. We have had a party from a 501c3 nonprofit corporation that has contacted the owner and apparently made arrangements for the owner to donate the vessel to this 501c3. And the vessel, it is possible that this, there may be a resolution where this new owner, the 501c3, will take it down to another port for repairs. It's a little too good to believe at this point. But it is actually seeming to proceed that way. So one thing is to let you know that, yes, indeed, council has us on their agenda. We will proceed. It's the only choice we have. It's going to be very expensive. It's probably a $100,000 project by the time we file the litigation, take custody, and then actually demolish the boat. It could be up to $100,000. But there is no good option in just letting it sit there and running up bills and eventually sink her. So we have to proceed that way unless we can work out this other thing, which I had, we've been working on about project for a week. And but with a lot of good work by the Harbor Patrol and U.S. Coast Guard and especially Fish and Game, Osper, and the vessel owners, they were very cooperative, very helpful in a very difficult situation for them. Give them a lot of credit. It's all done. Vessel got demolished. It's out. Great job done in a difficult situation. You will, in the October meeting, typically we get you a report on your life, on the lifeguards, Summer Beach lifeguards, and I don't know, I think we could probably do that along with our previous discussion. My fishing game, I attached the letter. I think we've talked before a couple times about the error that was created in writing the MPA for the harbor that banned or prohibited take of any living marine resource except for
recreational fin fish, and potentially it's disastrous for the harbor if we can't have maintain moorings or even dredge the harbor, because you know there is some disturbance of marine life during those, just even raising a chain in a, on a mooring. And the also unfortunate part, less disastrous but unfortunate, is that they banned recreational crab fishing off the piers, which is just stupid. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. It was just ignorant. But anyway, the Fish and Game Commission has finally agreed, after a couple letters, to put on their agenda a potential of at least fixing the part that's most important to the harbor, where they would give us an exclusion for normal harbor operations and things like that. So that is on the agenda tomorrow in Carpinteria, so I'll be going to that meeting. If they, tomorrow's notice of intent to publish for notice, intent to publish notice of a change, then there's another hearing to actually adopt the proposed change, and then there's final. So it's actually a three-hearing process at the Fish and Game Commission to get this change. It's not easy. But it does seem like they're willing to do that. Now, at this point, what I'm hearing is that there may not be support at the commission for changing the crab to allowing crab fishing again, which is unfortunate. And we'll go down there and talk to them about that. But I don't know. It just seems like they, some on the commission and the MLPA, view that as a loosening of their regulations and seem adamant that they don't want to do that. So that's my report. We will keep you posted on that particular issue.
And you attend that first meeting tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
8:30.
Carpinteria.
Okay, well, thanks for that report. Any additional comments? Gene?
A lot of bird life in the bay.
Michelle?
One last comment here. I would like to, again, make sure that we don't lose track of the boat hauled out facility. Where are we with that? I mean, it seems like we go on and then we forget about something for a while.
I haven't forgot about it. I just had a discussion with RM, but yeah, we haven't done much, but it's been mostly trying to roll some other things up.
No, I understand.
So what I think the next step really is what we need to do, and is have RM do some additional planning, site planning for the dry boat storage and boat facility, to a point where we could actually submit a permit. I don't think we're ever going to get an answer from Coastal, although there is staff, as I give them credit. We're getting some staff coming down to visit, and we're willing to be talking next week. But ultimately, they're not going to give us an answer on whether we can use that property unless we prepare a permit application to them, and then they can negotiate. So I'd like to do the best we can over the next year to get ourselves in a position where we would actually have a project, conceptual project, that we could send up to them. And we might be able to break that out. I think personally we probably should, where we, if we were getting permits for that over the next couple of years, maybe you proceed with the dry storage first, because that's a good, strong economic element with fairly low costs, and the boat repair yard might be more complicated and might be a second phase, or maybe, who knows, you got a grant between now and then or something like that. But
and the marine research facility is in there somewhere?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
It's a site, not a building. Yeah, it's a site. I have a future agenda item, too, if you're done before you can.
Well, I'm just trying to get through additional comments here. Do you have any comment, Lynn? You know, Ed? Okay. Now, future agenda items. We need to take a look at some point in the future at the liveaboard regulations. We had a report in June from Eric Endersby, and I think there is reason to take a look again at that. Do you have any further comment on that, Rick?
No, I think I'd like to ask you to form an ad hoc committee to.
Yeah, I don't know. I
Okay, we're done, Jill.
I think I'll go play some music.
There was two cars that burned up on 200 Main Street.